This is the Hollywood Casino Press Box. Now back to Frank Cusimano on 590 The Fan and 590thefan.com.
One of the best shows of all time. Comedy. Always Sunny.
You can say shows. It is one of the best shows of all time.
Really funny.
I had a bunch of friends who really got into it, and I just never could. I guess I didn't invest the proper time.
It's hilarious.
Is it Always Sunny in Philly? I mean, they did win the Super Bowl. The Sixers are on the upswing. Phillies are about to get stupid.
Stupid
That's
money.
Off-season motto. It's the press box here. Martin and Charlie. Frank is out today, and we're going to take you live to Philadelphia from Fox Philly. The Shredder is back on these airwaves. Tom Shredencheck. Don't try and spell it at home. Shredder, how are you?
It is a name made for radio. It truly is. And unlike your staff, we don't take vacations around the holidays here. This is 24/7. Come on.
Thank you. Give me the mindset of the Phillies at the winter meetings, okay? Because we've heard all about stupid and spending. What's their goal here?
Their goal is to be stupid spenders. How about that? And they have absolutely waited for this week. Not this off season. Over the last couple of years, they have waited for this week to get to Viva Las Vegas and not to dress up as Elvis Presley. They have waited for this week to spend a boatload of money on what you guys all realize is an unbelievable free agent class. They have built up their system. They have purposely saved money. They have a lot of Comcast dollars to spend. And I will be. I don't know if a Machado or Harper deal will happen this week, but I think this is the week when you get the groundwork laid, and I'll be stunned if when the 2019 season starts, they don't have one of those two players on their roster.
So Shredder, the Phillies yesterday get Andrew McCutchen, 3 years, $50 million. Probably more than a lot of people thought for Andrew McCutchen, but good player. Do you think that now shifts their focus more towards Machado over Harper, or is there as good of a chance they get Harper still, you think?
See, I still think they're in the Harper conversation, guys, from the standpoint of I think McCutchen is a clubhouse guy, and you know, people can talk about the money involved and it's 3 years, $50 million. You know, and it's a lot of money, but let's be honest, in free agency, you know, you have to overspend. You have to overpay to get it. Andrew McCutchen is a clubhouse guy that I think buffers a lot of problems that you're going to have with a big free agent signing. He is a proven winner. He's a clubhouse guy. We all know about the Machado quotes about not being Johnny Hustle. Andrew McCutchen's the kind of guy that if you land a Harper, if you land a Machado, he can diffuse a lot of those issues. Rhys Hoskins moves to first base now, so you do have that outfield void that you could have an outfield of Harper, Odubel, Herrera, and McCutchen playing together. If not, you know, McCutchen's not an everyday player. If he's a 130-game-a-year player, you still have the money and you still have the opportunity to sign a guy like Harper.
Shredder, tell us about this owner. We're enjoying it from afar because rarely do – and the Cardinals are very – cautious in their approach and their comments, and now we've got a modern day Steinbrenner. Tell us about his typical MO, but also the risk here. If you come up empty handed, what are the fans going to be like?
Well, John Middleton, first and foremost, guys, like every owner in professional sports, wants to win, but also has a bottom line at the ticket office. And the last year, at the beginning of August, late July, the Phillies found themselves in first place in a very weakened Major League Baseball Eastern Division, and they were 22nd in the league in attendance. And the bean counters know that, and the bean counters understand that, and a guy like Harper, a guy like Machado fills that void. John Middleton was famous after the 2009 World Series when the Phillies lost to the Yankees in telling Ryan Howard, I want my bleeping trophy back. John Middleton is a passionate guy. He owns off the cuff. He's not afraid to speak. And in this situation, he's not afraid to spend. He's got the money. He also has a bottom line. He's not drawing fans right now. And he'll spend that money if he has to. You know, financially, he could absolutely afford both guys. I don't think that's going to happen. but he absolutely has approached, as I said earlier, he has approached this week as the period he has waited years for to get to.
All right, since you guys are paying close attention to the Harper market, I think folks in St. Louis got caught up in the Harper hoopla. It's not happening here. What's the race here? Who do you see it? Nats, Phillies, Phillies, Nats? Who else is out there? I mean, the Cubs get mentioned every once in a while. But
Dodgers.
What do you think the race is to sign Harper?
Dodgers, I think the Angels are in it. Don't be surprised. We continue to hear quietly that the Chicago White Sox are a team that could be involved in this week. So I think when the dust settles, if I'm a betting man, and we had to do this on a Wednesday afternoon on December 12th, I think he winds up back in Washington, and I think Manny Machado is your Phillies third baseman with newly acquired Gene Segura at shortstop.
How about that? Write it down, Charlie. And he said if you are a betting man, by the way, Charlie is a big-time betting man, so take that one.
I like that, though. Yeah.
Let me put it this way. I think, and Charlie and Martin, you've seen this through the years, that, you know, there's always a favorite, and you kind of all of a sudden have that dark horse team. And we've heard the Giants mentioned in some of the talks. We obviously hear the Yankees. But, you know, don't be surprised like an Angels or a White Sox team all of a sudden out of nowhere comes up with the money and strikes the deal. It usually works that way. If it's not the favorite, if it's not the odds on favorite, it's that dark horse that you never saw coming that swoops in. But guarantee you, if John Middleton loses on it, he will go all in to go get a player like Manny Machado. And the Phillies still have a pitching void as well. Don't be surprised to see the name J.A. Happ coming here this offseason as well.
Do you think the Phillies will give the highest possible offer for a guy like Harper? And I ask because you read the report that the Nationals, before Harper actually hit free agency, offered something like 10 years and $300 million. So I agree with you. It seems like if the Nationals were willing to offer that, you tell me they're not going to offer, let's say, $330 to give him the biggest contract ever and beat Giancarlo Stanton for a little bit. So I guess my question is, if that's out there, would the Phillies be willing to give the biggest offer for Harper?
I think they would be willing to. And, Charlie, let's be honest. I mean, you know, if you're in that market and you're in that situation, not only for Bryce Harper, but if you're Scott Boras, yeah, the Washington Nationals could have offered $400 million, and he's not going to take it
right,
because he's got to test the waters. He's waited for that moment. So they probably lowballed that offer, knowing he was not going to take the reported $300 million. Hey, you've played in your career. You have salary arbitration you've gone through, and you've waited for this period to get here, so you've got to milk the heck out of it. And I think Bryce Harper and Scott Boras have done that. One other thing to remember through this whole thing as well is Machado used to be a Scott Boras guy, and he's now represented by Dan Lozano, and both agents don't like each other a little bit. So there's not only competition between Harper and Machado where they go, there's going to be competition among those two agents for who gets their client the better deal. File that away as you start to see the numbers fly between those two guys.
This is the Shredder bringing that kind of Philly
love
edge
it
attitude. I'm looking for Fox Philly, Tom Shredencheck with us. My overall theory on the Phillies is that they never tanked. They just got bad real quick. We saw them in 2011. They were the heavy favorite. Cardinals beat them in an epic game five in the NLDS, the Chris Carpenter, Roy Halladay game. And then things just, the wheels sort of fell off. Is that fair? I mean, it wasn't like a systematic tank. They just got bad.
Old.
Well, I'll take you to that game, guys. It was a Friday night, and you talk about the wheels coming off, and it really was the beginning of the end, because not only does Carpenter shut out the Phillies on a gem, it's the final out is Ryan Howard tearing his Achilles tendon on the ground ball to Nick Punto. So that started the end of that Ryan Howard era, the Chase Utley, the Jimmy Rollins era. And the Phillies guys went through a lot of prospects for that 08 to 2011 period to get guys like Roy Oswalt, to get the Cliff Lees, to get the Hunter Pence, to try to get one more ring. And they really gutted their system. And honestly, that was part of it. And they also didn't draft well. They have a history of not developing players well through their system. Your Cardinals team does. The Phillies did not do that. So factor in the fact that you didn't develop players. You had traded away a lot of your top players to get into that position. And it was bad. And Middleton knew it. And again, he waited. He tried to slowly and subtly develop guys like Cesar Hernandez, J.P. Crawford, Mikel Franco to get to this period and supplement with this 2018 free agency class. So the Philly system, yeah, it was rock bottom. It was bad. Fans recognized that. And I think that's part of the reason why I said earlier attendance was 22nd in the league at the beginning of August. It's kind of like putting the 76ers, you know, trust the process. Well, fans were still skeptical to get back on the bandwagon because they had seen how rot-gut bad the 76ers were. Well, Phillies fans remember how rot-gut in the middle of the 2013, 14, 15 some of those teams were. They're hesitant to go to the ballpark. That's why the Phillies have to make a splash in free agency to get fannies back in the seats.
Shredder, we got to ask you about the Eagles. You always hear about Philly fans and their passion. After winning the Super Bowl finally, how are they feeling about their 6-7 Eagles? Is it a little better because you won it all last year, or are they still pretty ticked?
It's pretty ticked right now. And now coming out the news today, guys, that Carson Wentz is not going to practice with a back injury, and Ian Rappaport reporting that he probably will not play Sunday against the Rams, which will further add to the lament. Yeah, you know, it is a what-have-you-done-for-me-lately kind of town, and there's still a little bit of hope for a wild-card spot, although it's flickering. Fans are not really celebrating that Super Bowl victory, which was less than a year ago. It's a what-have-you-done-for-me-lately kind of town.
Shredder, great to catch up. You guys be stupid, okay? Enjoy your 2019, and we'll see you at the parade.
You enjoy your Goldschmidt's, and we'll meet halfway in the middle.
Love it.
Good. There he is, the Shredder. And Charlie came just after Kingsley left, our old news director, Texas guy who had a certain dialect. And Shredder is the best. Give me a little Kingsley on the way out. Very gratuitous.
That's right. That's right, Coach. That's the way we do it here at Fox.
That's right, buddy. Everybody's buddy, right, buddy. Blog it, buddy. All right. Take care, Tom.
You got it, guys.
See ya.
Was that Shredder? It sounded like, kind of had a bit of a Pinkle.
Mine might have been. His Kingsley, we had a boss who was from Texas, and he called everybody buddy. That's right.
It's
a nice
way to make sure you never have to remember someone's name.
It's true. You got a big newsroom. You got a lot of people. Hey, buddy. Hey, buddy.
Let me ask you this. Hey, buddy. And I'm basing this on two guests.
Buddy of mine.
Do Philly sports talk radio hosts have the best energy? Because that guy brought straight energy. Our guy, what's his name, Garbanzo?
Oh, Gargano. Yeah. That's Spags' guy.
That dude was just instant offense.
He has been moved to a new show that is on right in the middle during our show.
But he was a great guest.
Yeah, Gargano is in
Garbanzo
our
Beans.
Gargano is Spags' buddy. He's a radio friend of this show. The Shredder works for the Fox TV station in Philly.
But he has a radio about him. He's got to do some radio, right?
Okay.
I guarantee you he does some radio.
Yeah, we all do. Yeah, a little of this, a little of that. Hollywood Casino Press Box. Frank is out today. Martin and Chuck in a little bit early. Midday grind coming your way, top of the hour. Housekeeping would include being at Schnucks tomorrow. Looking forward to that. I bet you it's going to be a packed house because I think people now are starting to realize Christmas is coming soon. Start stocking up while you can. We're at the Fenton location, Gravois Bluffs. Friday, it's the 1-2-3 Club, their annual Christmas party out at Norwood Hills. Bob Costas among the guests. Or Mike Bush used to introduce him. It's Bob Costas.
More like really a John Miller, Costas.
Costas is going to join us. A number of notable folks will be there on Friday. We're looking forward to that. So some fun programming over the next couple of days. Strick will be here in the noon hour. We'll talk more about it. We've talked a lot about the Blues. The Blues. Bounce back win last night, 4-3 over the Florida Panthers. They have retained the Pronger Cup. Strick will break that down.
They brought it back because they got swept last year.
They got swept.
They got the Pronger Cup back here in St. Louis.
Somebody called it yesterday.
Who?
Somebody called the huge Blues win over another.
You said they were going to dominate.
Poor team in the NHL.
You said they were going to dominate.
You know what? I thought they were going to dominate, but the way they won was actually better.
Oh, yeah, better.
In the long run, okay? Because they were behind. They finally won a game that they were trailing, entering the third period. They go ahead.
The game is tied.
No, I'm saying.
I disagree more.
Okay, but my point is.
They looked very similar, and then they kind of ended up winning.
But at this point, it is a win or loss business for the Blues. At this point in the season, they need a GD win, and they got one. And they fell behind. They gave it up. It was tied, and they won the game. Schwartzy's back making plays. Perron was ticked after being a healthy scratch.
Got that gosh darn win.
Just enjoy the win, okay? I'm not saying it saved the season.
Sanford was at the ER because he got beat up by a teammate.
Chuck won $50.
Going good.
GD.
Maryville University brings you the listener line. Winning streak brings you the text line, 855-282-8255. Hollywood Casino, press box here, McBride Home Studios, also the AB Brewery lights up and running. You're going to be there this weekend.
They're going to go maybe Saturday night.
Go there early, then we'll get you. We got a holiday party later.
Christmas party.
Wow, Chuck. Thursday through Sunday, Anheuser-Busch Brewery lights, holiday lights at Anheuser-Busch, Chuck. They don't discriminate. Bring your kids, free entry. You get free samples if you're over 21. You can buy your own beer as well if you want. Food for purchase. Holiday Classic played every night. There's a miniature ice skating rink. There's s'more stations. Always a lot of fun at Anheuser-Busch for Brewery Lights.
All right, we'll be right back. Going to tell you about a special event. You can get involved with our little haven. All you have to do is drink some wine.
I'm in.
How easy is that? And then we've got five for Chuck still to come this hour, 11 o'clock hour, on the Hollywood Casino Press Box.
Ayo, Bo knows this, what? And Bo knows that, what? But Bo don't know Jack, because Bo can't rap. Well, what do you know? The Diddog is first up to bat.